This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 17th, episode 2204, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Stuart Smalley always makes me laugh.
I know. So good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. If you normally listen to the live feed, we apologize. The live feed Mixler was
Glenn
down
broke
this
it.
Morning.
I didn't break it.
It just wasn't working. So tomorrow morning we'll be live, and then we will not be live the rest of the week. We'll have shows for you, but we will not be live as Jennifer and I are heading to Denver. But I got to tell you a funny story. So last couple of days, we live in a modular house. It's above the ground, so that there's a crawl space underneath, right? Well, okay. In that crawl space is a lot of the stuff, like the air conditioning ducts and the wiring and all of that. So when a critter goes under your house and starts living there, digs its way under and starts living there, it's bad because they can tear things up. So I noticed the other day when I heard this hell of a racket underneath the house that there must be something going on. And I found the place where this critter's going in and out. So what we have to do is get a live trap. We have to set the live trap and catch the critter and relocate.
You don't know what it
critter.
Is.
We
you
don't. No usually idea. It's a, you know, a groundhog or something. You know, it's usually a raccoon or something like that. And we don't know what this one is. Thank God we don't have a lot of skunks here, or I'd be afraid to put the live trap out, because then what do you do, right?
You would know if it was a skunk.
Yeah, we would know. They're living under the house. We'd know. So we got the live trap yesterday. We set it up, and we always use cat food because cat food is stinky, and every animal, wild animal, loves cat food.
Yes.
So yesterday, last night, we set it up, and this morning, I go out and look, and we caught him. Well, we caught something. I don't think it's what was living under the house, because it was great, big, fat, and gray. It was the neighbor's cat.
You got a cat with cat food.
Cat food.
So you know that this is the neighbor's, like,
yes,
cat.
It's the neighbor's cat. And they have two cats, and they have this big fat gray. I mean, it's huge. They have this big fat gray one. And he's bigger now because he ate a whole can of cat food. And then they have a little black cat, and the little black cat was sitting on top of the cage when I went out this morning.
He's like, hey, can you get my friend out?
Now, the question is the cat going to be smart enough to figure it out tonight, or is he coming back again?
Oh, my gosh. You just got to go over there and be like, hey, man, we're working on a project here, and your cat spent some time in the poking.
Jail. So, yeah, we didn't catch what we were hoping to catch, but we did catch the neighbor cat. By the way, neighbor cat was not happy.
Oh my gosh, I cannot even imagine. It reminds me of like that cat Chloe in The Secret Life of Pets, like with your description. It was like that super fat gray cat.
That's what it is. That's exactly like Chloe. Anyway, we have no producer today either. It's just us. So we get to have fun, do whatever we want. Nobody's here.
Yeah, speaking of Chloe, I saw Secret Life of Pets too.
Isn't it good?
You know what? The kids, I took Lucas and two of his friends from school. Yes, I was like super cool mom. I brought them all candy, and we all went and set
three childs to the movies.
I brought candy from the grocery store, snuck it into the movie theater, and then gave them all candy. And so they watch it, and at the end, they were like, that was really short.
Short?
I was like, you know what? It was short. was really short. It seemed really short. I said, that's because you liked it so much. It was so entertaining. I looked at it. I was like, I looked at my phone time, checked the time, and I was like, you're right. That was short, but it was really good. I love how they had all the different stories going on. It was like tied all together.
Though, is that all these Marvel movies are 16 hours long. So when you go see a regular length movie, it seems short.
Yeah, like a 70-minute movie is normal in regular life, but that's right. I'm used to Endgame, which was 3.5 hours.
The animation in Secret Life of Pets is just so good. It is so good. The hair.
It was weird to have Max have a different voice.
A little bit.
But I got used to it. The kids
thought
liked
it. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
It was light and fluffy. All right, let's do some Daily Winnies.
Let me just point out something.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead and do your happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Robin Donaghy, one of our Woo-hoo! Terrific auditors. And she's probably been listening to this show since about the beginning. And she's also a fellow Horse Lovers cruiser. She was on the cruise last time and is coming this time. So happy birthday to her. Also, I have to give a Daily Winnie to Jason. Jason's one of our terrific auditors. And he wrote the following, and I think I'm okay to say this because I think his wife knows now.
She might know by now.
Yeah. I went to my friend's house to pick up a pony. She was there being bred to his little pony stallion. So they have a pony, bringing it to be bred. My wife requested that I pick out a donkey from his herd and bring it home with me also. I'm on my way home with our pony and a little black Percheron gelding.
That's not a donkey. Hey, just put some gloves on its ears. Maybe you can sneak it by.
I might be in trouble when I get home. And then he did explain later that apparently he's not in too much trouble, but he posted a picture of the, looks like a yearling black Percheron gelding. And let me tell you, it is Percheron geldings are stinking cute when they're babies. They're so cute.
All Percherons are cute when they're babies, mares included.
Yes, that's true. But congratulations to Jason on his new Percheron. Good choice. Black Percheron, my favorite.
You can get a donkey to protect our herd. Okay, I'm going to get the most passive animal possible.
And that eats a bale of hay a day.
And that eats 10 times as much as a donkey. Exactly. Oh my God. Your wife is a saint. Hey, my point, I was about to say before you went to the Daily Winnies, is that I love the fact that I can say I took a bunch of kids to a kids movie and you've already seen it. What children's did you take to the movie, Glenn?
I took none, but there were plenty in the movie theater, let me tell you. There were plenty.
Glenn goes to
but
kids
I didn't hear a lot of kids, like, you know, if the movie gets boring, if it's boring, you hear the kids starting to act up. There were no kids acting up in that movie. So
no, Kevin Hart's the best. It was funny.
It was good.
Okay, my turn. I wanted to give a trio of Daily Winnies to an experience that I had yesterday. First of all, Baby Groot did his first ever jump course.
It
was like three crossrails.
Yeah,
but
it was a little tiny, like 6 inches.
Like 10. Well, one of them was like at least 18 inches. I mean,
he didn't knock him over.
He did not knock him over. But the trio goes to, I don't know why or how I taught my son to be a videographer, but he actually videoed again, me jumping on the jump course. It was so bright. I don't know how he saw the screen, but he kept it. He only put fingers in it about half the time.
I was impressed. I mean, he's getting really good. We used to see the ground and the sky more than we saw you, but I saw you the whole course.
You know what I used to see is his face.
Yeah. Okay. You
know? So I think he's come a long way. So that's the other part. And then I had two other little friends in the arena, because if Lucas comes in the arena, they come in the arena. And that is Harry Potter and Hermione. And those are the geese, which I posted the video on my Facebook page. And you can hear Harry Potter yelling at me. It's almost like I can hear him saying, sit up.
It was like he was
down.
Coaching.
Lower your hands.
It was like he was coaching. It was just like that, actually.
Yeah, it sounded like the coach yelling in the background. And Hermione was over. She's very quiet. She was standing by the jump, like waiting to be jump crew. So it was like a family event yesterday.
By the way, those geese have gotten huge in a short period of time.
It's amazing how quickly they grow. They grow so fast. Yeah.
They are big.
The house is big as Stan Lee. My baby horse is so big. I'm like, what's going on? My kid's in first grade.
We haven't gotten an update on that lately. Stan Lee, you were having a little bit of trouble. Stan Lee didn't want to be have anything done with Stan Lee. Has that gotten any better?
Well, Stan Lee, the baby Oldenburg, was a baby dragon when he was born. Yes. And he came out like rearing, jumping on you and biting all that. I would like to. So we had Monty on to tell me basically just leave him alone until he's gelded. And then you can start your training when he's a little older. You know, he's just a baby. Let him be a baby and then deal with him later. Well, I ignored him for like 2 weeks. I was like, hi, you're pretty. Okay, here's your food. And I'm not kidding you. It's like he got offended, Glenn. It's like, how dare you?
You wanted to play the game and you weren't playing anymore.
How dare you not play with me? I am not kidding you. That baby horse can be laying down sleeping. I can go rub all over him, smooch his nose. He still might bite your lips, but for the most part, there's no rearing, no striking, no jumping, no running around. It's like he was like, okay, I learned my lesson. Please don't ignore me anymore. I'm so sorry. And I said that, and one of my friends was like, isn't that just like a man? Ignore them, and then they're like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be bad. And all of a sudden, he's like this super sweet baby. So I've gotten halters on him. I can pick up all his feet, and he leads. Sometimes he goes where you're asking him to go, which is nice. I've hosed him off. He fly sprays. I can touch all over his body. He's a really good boy. Wow. He's a really good boy. I'm really happy with him. I'm not happy with him. I love him so much.
That's amazing. That's an amazing transformation.
Yeah, not bad. But yeah, I love Monty's advice. Just ignore him. You know what? That worked. I didn't have to ignore him as long as you wanted to, because he's very sensitive.
When will he be due for the cutting?
As soon as possible. No, I think around 6 months.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to call it cutting.
How old
Glenn.
Is he? By the way.
He was born at the beginning. His due date was bred April 1st. So he was due. I think his birthday was the end of March. Okay. So he's almost 3 months old.
He can be whole for a few months. Yeah.
Yes. He's got about 3 more months to keep those puppies.
And we're not calling it cutting. We're calling it something else.
Let's not call it cutting. Let's call it castration. That sounds like more medical. No, there's no cutting. Don't you cut my baby.
All right, let's you want to take a listen to something happened over the weekend?
Yeah, so I was really excited because I just felt like Maximum Security was going to show the world that he's just the best horse and he can't lose. So he raced this past weekend in the Pegasus Stakes. So let's hear how Maximum Security did in his first race back since being ousted of his Kentucky Derby position.
This is at Monmouth Park with 6 horses running.
And the race is on. The Pegasus and Maximum Security stumbled at the start, but recovered very quickly and shows his customary speed. King for a Day and Identifier. Those two coming after the big favorite early on, though, as they go through that opening furlong. Direct Order out in the 4th spot. It's a length and a half more back to Last Judgment. And Identifier is at the back, but Company up front for Maximum Security. As King for a Day presses that one as they go by the 7/8 pole. 3 deep trip here for Identifier, who's in the 3rd spot. Length and a half more back to Direct Order. Last Judgment is spotting him about 5 here as they go by the 6 furlong marker. It's 3.5 more to Kaladin, who's at the back. 23-2 for the opening quarter mile. Maximum Security has Company. King for a Day and a 3 deep Identifier. Those 3 across the track past the 5/8 pole. They're 2.5 lengths ahead of Last Judgment, who moves up alongside of Direct Order. And it's another 7 or 8 back to Kaladin, who's at the back. Half mile left to go in their journey off a 46-4 opening half. And Maximum Security goes past the half mile pole a length in front. King for a Day in the 2nd spot. Last Judgment starts to move up around Identifier. Direct Order is right there. The top 5 only covered by about 3 lengths. With 3 furlongs left to go, Kaladin the only one back. Maximum Security around the far turn. King for a Day pushing him now. Maximum Security being asked for his best. Last Judgment is into the 3rd spot. Length and a half more to Identifier and Direct Order. But Maximum Security is going to have to work for it. King for a Day on the outside. And these 2 arrive at the top of the stretch. They've separated themselves by 5. Maximum Security all in toward the inside. King for a Day, a final furlong, greets Maximum Security, who's just a half length in front. King for a Day on the outside, going to make him earn it at the 16th pole. It's a question of who wants it more. King for a Day forges to a narrow advantage. Maximum Security has been defeated. King for a day by a length.
Who's King for a day?
King for a day is a son of Uncle Mo who's like 2 for 2, and he's actually quite impressive. But what I didn't like was Maximum Security's jockey, Luis Saez, was riding him, and they came out of the gate, and the horse obviously was a little, he said he was a little desperate in the gate, and he broke so hard that he stumbled.
Like he stumbled, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So, but then he popped back up, and that's his speed, is like immediately to the front. But I feel like King for a Day challenged coming around the turn before the final stretch. And he went to the whip on Maximum Security, like way back. And I thought, why are you letting this horse sucker you into it? Let him blow his speed out. Anyway, I'm not a jockey, obviously, but I just felt like they asked him too soon. And he didn't, I just don't think it was a great ride. And I don't think it was his day. So I'm still going to stick with Maximum Security. He's awesome.
You know, his owner, though, wasn't he the owner, the one that's like, I'm suing everybody. This horse can't lose to anybody. He's got to be eating it a little bit right now.
Yeah,
he's a bit of a blowhard, wasn't he?
Well, that's what I didn't like about it. It was like the whole guy was really, I mean, I would have been unhappy. His name was Gary West. I would have been unhappy too, but man, he got all litigious, like, I'm gonna sue everybody. That's when you go, okay, now you're ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. He got a little ridiculous, and I think that and he was the one that said, I'll run him against anybody and we'll run him head to head. And well,
the jockey said he wanted to break so bad, so he broke so fast and stumbled because he hasn't run in a while, and he's been training. So he said he did ask for more at the half mile pole, which is kind of where I was, but he said he just got a little tired, but he's not disappointed.
Not disappointed
with the second
place. He's very disappointed. I got news.
He's very disappointed. Anyway, so Maximum Security, he went off at 1-9. Does that mean you have to spend $9 to win $1?
I know. That always confused me, too. And, you know, it's just a different percentage, but it always confused me. That means if you bet $2, you're going to win $2.01. That's pretty much, you know, you're
really
going to win nothing. You won't win anything. You'll win a little, but not much. I always thought that.
King for a Day was the second choice, by the way, at 5-1. So I'm going to have to get on Retired Racehorse Radio. We're going to get a betting expert to come on and tell us what are all these things?
Okay, good.
Like, I know what an exact is. Like, you pick two and a trifecta, you pick three. But what's like a superfecta, and what is the daily double and all that? Like, what does 1-9 mean? What's the payout on something like that? So we're going to find out all of that on Retired Racehorse Radio in the next couple episodes.
Very good. Well, we're going to have our first guest coming up here shortly, but I have a couple news stories for you that I thought were fun. I had a couple people that messaged me about the whole safe sport thing that was going on last week. That's probably not something we'll cover here on Horses in the Morning, but I will tell you that most of our other shows, Dressage and Plaidcast and Heels Down, have been covering it. So if you want to hear more about that from on the Horse Radio Network, you can head over to those other shows.
Somebody asked me if Harry Potter was involved in safe sport because he was coaching.
Did he take the test? Is there a goose version? I have important stories here for you today. And that is, over the weekend, the 5th annual CorgiCon was held in Ocean Beach, Maryland. 1,000 corgis on the beach. Can you imagine that? It's called CorgiCon. It's been going on for 5 years. That means 5 years of corgis in sunglasses, corgis in propeller beanies, and corgis in ballet tutus. Now, the vendors, apparently it brings out a lot of vendors and a lot of spectators. I bet it does. Apparently, they were selling cigars for dogs at $3 each. Beer for dogs at $4 a bottle. I'm assuming it's not real beer. It's hand-woven planter boxes in the shape of corgis. And apparently, anything else you can ever imagine that looks like a corgi was there.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine, because corgi people are,
rabid.
You know who you are.
Yeah,
you guys are rabid fans of your corgis.
But can you imagine 1,000 corgis on the beach? First of let's hope they were all cleaning up after themselves. Or I'd hate to be
that's just a big mess.
Who came to the beach the next day?
That's a bunch of cute little butts bouncing around. But I went to a Basset Hound Bash.
Oh, did you? Oh, that must have been fun too.
And I remember I took my first Basset Hound, Riddy, who that's short for ridiculous because she was a ridiculous looking dog. So I took Riddy, and I also had a little border collie that I took with me everywhere. Her name was Brett, and I remember that like we got out of the truck and Riddy was like, my people. And Brett was like, what?
What the hell?
There's more than one of these.
That's a lot of long ears.
She was so freaked out by all of these dogs. So like you go to a corgi place and you're like, oh, my God, there's so many corgis. Oh, that's amazing. That had to be really
cute. That's less square inches of legs than any other dog convention in the world. Yeah,
that's true. That and the Basset Hound Bash. Those are the two places you find 0% legs.
Now, we went to a couple of greyhound picnics where they had a couple hundred greyhounds.
Really? Oh, my. That's a lot of leg.
That's a lot of leg. But, you know, greyhounds are so docile. There was no barking. Imagine a couple hundred dogs in a place where there's no barking at all.
That is so bizarre.
And then occasionally, because it was they had a big dog park attached to it, too, and they had closed the dog park for the greyhounds. So occasionally you'd put your dog out and they'd go play around with all the other greyhounds. They'd all get running and they would do full laps. So you'd see 20, 30, 40 of them doing laps, doing what they like to do, right? And it was so cool seeing them run. You know, it was really cool seeing them run.
And then after that, you're like, wake up. You gotta go home.
My next story involves another kind of contest. And we've talked about it before, but I hate to tell you, we thought it was going to be a fad. We thought it was a come and go kind of thing, but apparently not. It's getting more popular. In Helsinki, Finland, the 400 contestants at the sports arena, they show jumped, they barrel raced, and they did dressage. And they did it with hobby horses. Yes.
Stick horses?
Stick horse competitions are getting more popular.
In Finland. Let's buy them damn girls some ponies for crying out loud.
It was the national championships. That means that they had regional championships. I love that they
qualify.
which hosted the annual national championships for the sport that simulates gymnastic elements of real life horseback riding. Teens and young girls, mostly 10 to 18,
Shocker.
Galloped, jumped, and pranced with their homemade stuffed horse heads on a wooden stick at physically demanding competition as over 2,500 spectators watched.
Do you think that, like, grandma is sitting there watching her grandbaby and she's like, how did it come to this?
18-year-old out there, right?
Doing dressage.
You know what's depressing?
Nice half pass. Wow, that was impressive.
We could probably count on our fingers and toes the numbers of competitions in this country, actual horse competitions, to get 2,500 spectators.
I would say that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. Isn't that depressing? The Western horsemanship section included barrel racing modeled after North American rodeos.
Seriously?
That's what it says.
They had barrel racing. See, that I would watch. That I would watch. Like, that's cool. Dressage, it's like in real life. Dressage, kind of boring to watch. But, like, barrel racing, I'd watch that.
Now, competitor Aquata, blah, 19 years old, said hobby horsing is a sport for everybody, but the boys haven't been participating so much yet. But there are more and more coming in every year. Yeah, if you're going to meet boys at the hobby horse competition, I would say that you're going to be plumb out of luck.
I would say that that's kind of an international thing.
Yes.
Doesn't matter if you, boys have not figured out where to find all the chicks.
No. Aquata also said Finland has over 10,000 hobby horse aficionados, by far the largest number in any country, and says that the sport is gradually gaining momentum in some other European nations like Sweden, Germany, the Netherlands, and Switzerland, all hotbeds for equestrian sports.
Wow.
You know what grandma and mom and dad are actually saying in the stands? Thank God that's not a real horse.
Oh, thank God we don't have to pay for that. One of these things.
Sounds like a lot of them make their hobby horses too, so it's pretty cheap.
Mom, my horse is lame. No, it's not. That's you.
Do you think you have to pay for a stall when you go?
You know, they just make so much money off stabling and horse trials, so...
All right, let's talk about Omega Alpha, and then we'll go to our first guest.
All right. Well, I know I've talked to you guys about this product with Omega Alpha before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Drax, my off-the-track thoroughbred, he is kind of one of those horses that has had something happen to him almost the entire time he's been here. He came off the track and he had heel grabs from his race plates. So we had to heal his heel grabs, like slices on his front heels. Then after that, Then I had no shoes on him to like let his feet grow out. And then he like lost all his, because it's been so wet. So then we had to wait for shoes to put on. And then he got a puncture wound and his leg blew up super huge. Puncture wound was like an eighth of an inch. And I know I'm getting to it going. So this puncture wound, tiny little thing, made a big deal. So what did we have to do? We had to put him on antibiotics. And we had, I mean, I was doctoring this thing like you read about. It's the tiniest little cut. But antibiotics, all the stuff that goes along with that. You guys, remember what you need to do after your horse has been on antibiotics. Same with the humans. They need probiotics. Because all those antibiotics kill your gut flora. They kill the flora and fauna that's in the, I don't know if fauna is the right word, in the gut, all the stuff that's supposed to be there. So you want to replace that after you're done with the antibiotics. And what you use is Biotic 8. So just like humans, after you get, there's, all you girls know what I'm talking about. Things happen when you've been on antibiotics that upset your system. And so put all of those things back in there by using Biotic 8. Again, if your horse goes on antibiotics, make sure you have some Biotic 8. You can get it at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Or is it OmegaAlpha.com? Yeah, they shorten it. OmegaAlpha.com. You can find a list of retailers there. Please be sure to check it out. It is so important for your horse to have that healthy gut. Well, up next, we have Dr. Madison Siemens. You guys know him and love him. However, I want to point out that this came from Retired Racehorse Radio. We had him on to talk about pre-purchase exams and the ins and outs and the important things. So you'll hear all about that right now. Again, Dr. Siemens from Retired Racehorse Radio. Dr. Siemens is not only a qualified vet, he's also an author, and his book is called Never Trust a Sneaky Pony and Other Things They Didn't Teach Me in Vet School. He has great expertise, storytelling abilities, and I wanted to have him on to talk to us a little bit about pre-purchase exams. Hello, Dr. Siemens.
Hey, Jamie. Thanks so much for calling.
I'm so happy to have you on and introduce you to potentially a new audience who maybe hasn't heard you on Horses in the Morning. You're a regular veterinary guest there. But I thought we could talk a little bit about something that weighs on the off-the-track thoroughbred purchaser. And that is, number one, pre-purchase or no pre-purchase. And two, what to look for in a pre-purchase. So when you're going to look at a horse that's coming off the track that is going to go to a second career, Joy's dog is barking, what are some of the things that we should be thinking about?
Well, all those are good questions. And I think the first thing you need to consider is whether or not you should even do a purchase exam. A lot of these horses are being repurposed either cheap or free. And so I think one of the big problems we can get into is thinking because he's free, you know, this shouldn't be a big deal. We'll just go down the road and see what we got. The problem with that is I have seen a number of these off the track thoroughbreds that had major problems. And so now you've got into this thing. You've got something that maybe you cannot manage. You might not be able to ride this horse. And then are you going to sell him? What are you going to do with him?
Yeah.
So For me, the free horse or the cheap horse is the horse that you most need a pre-purchase exam on.
Mm-hmm.
And because you just wind up with this thing, you're just going to feed him forever or whatever, because some of these things we just don't manage very well. So I would argue that that's probably the best thing to do is just get an experienced equine veterinarian to do a thorough workup. And the first thing that I look at is if the horse is lame today, this is a real problem. And so for most of us nowadays, the purchase evaluation is not a pass or fail entity. the question that I'm always asked is, would I buy the horse? And the answer is always no, because I got a backyard full of horses and I don't want another horse.
Would you buy it? That's what people ask you. Would you buy it?
No, I tell them no. Not today, not now, not ever, you know. No, I'm being a little silly that way, but you got to understand that what you're asking me to do is look into this crystal ball. You're asking me to look at this exam that's going to take me about 45 or 50 minutes and tell you what this horse is going to be doing 8 or 10 years down the road. Well, nobody can do that. So it can't, for most of us, it can't be a pass or fail type of an evaluation. What it can be is, these are the problems that the horse has. These are problems that we can manage pretty well. These are problems that we don't manage very well. Mm-hmm. So that's how you have to sort of divide it up. And so the first thing I look at is the horse lame today? If he's lame today, then the chances of him remaining serviceably sound for the foreseeable future are just about zero. Now, it's possible he has something really minor, but I mean, do you want to take a chance? And so, again, I never tell people, buy this horse, don't buy this horse. But if we're starting out with the lameness of, how much further do you want to go on this? Mm-hmm. And I saw a horse the other day that there was free horse. Really nice looking horse, well bred. He's been to the track, but he never raced. And she got him free. She's gonna make a CT horse out of him, and he's a nice horse, but he's a little stiff. So anyway, X-rayed him. He doesn't have a chip fracture in his knee. He's got a chunk of the end of his radius knocked off.
Oh my gosh.
This isn't a thing. We're not gonna go in there with an arthroscope and peel that chip out of there, and he's down the road in 6 weeks. No, this is your flipping a coin for his chances after probably a $3,000 to $5,000 surgery. So these are the kinds of gambles that you're taking when you look at these horses without getting another set of experienced eyes and hands. Just look at them. An experienced veterinarian can look at a horse and tell you if he's going to be serviceably sound in pretty short order. Mm-hmm. Because some of these things are just that obvious. Some more subtle things are going to take a little bit more in-depth evaluation. So that spills us into a whole nother chapter of this.
So you look at this horse, sorry, Joy. So you look at this horse, you gauge whether it's sound right now. And then about how many times do you just kind of end it after the flexions, or do most people go on to do radiographs?
Well, in my practice, probably, and I do a fair number of these things. And so for the last 35 years, I've got a couple of numbers here, and probably half the horses that I look at for purchase evaluations are lame the day I see them.
What?
Half, yeah.
They're lame when they're getting pre-purchased?
Yes, the day I see them. And the problem here is, I don't think people are trying to cheat anybody. Maybe there's some out there, but what we got here is that most horse people, even some fairly experienced horse people, don't do a real in-depth evaluation of their horse every day. So, you know, if he comes up to eat and they slap the saddle on him and jog down the road on him, he doesn't seem too bad, then they figure everything is fine. The veterinarian is going to look at these horses in a much more critical manner. And so we look at things that your average horse person is probably not going to think to look at. I mean, some of them will, but a lot of them won't. And so we start looking at some of these even fairly subtle things. And these are huge red flags. And so we just, as a general rule, we stop right there. Because, I mean, we can x-ray, we can ultrasound, we can MRI. There's a ton of stuff that we can do. But the question at the end of the day is, this ain't your horse yet. you want to spend your money diagnosing somebody else's problem? And I have had people do that. And I've had people, too, you know, spend a lot of money on a purchase exam. The horse is lame the day they see him, and they go ahead and buy them anyway. Which is fine with me, because I make truck payments off those horses for you.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're going to call me back in a couple weeks anyway to do the first set of hawk injections.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. It's what we call job security.
Well, Dr. Seans, I have a quick question. And that's, you know, for some of the common injuries that we see with ex-race horses, are there some that stick out that should be a big no? Or are there some that you've seen you can work through it and it shouldn't deter people from buying the horse?
The number one reason, or number one cause of retirement, early retirement in horses of all disciplines, whether it's race horses or roping horses, rein horses, any kind of discipline, is soft tissue injury to the distal limb. That's below the knee or the hock. And so commonly we're looking at tendonitis, so deep flexor, superficial flexor tendonitis, or suspensory apparatus damage. And so those horses will typically have some swelling below the knee of the hock, and this is in the back of the limb. It's interesting that the tendon damage in the front of the limb, front or rear, is really forgiving. But if you got a problem in the back of the limb, below the knee of the hock, that constitutes some questions there that we'll want to work through. And so the ultrasound is definitely our friend as far as trying to figure out the level of scarring, how much damage is done on the inside. The challenge with these things is that there's a high incidence of re-injury. And so if we have a superficial flexor tendon problem, that's much more forgiving than a deep flexor tendon problem, which is much more forgiving than a suspensory problem. And so this is another place where if we start to see something like that, and sometimes you can't see this disc without looking at an ultrasound. So, but most of the time, especially in these off-the-track thoroughbreds, they'll have a little puffiness or a little just a frank scar that will indicate that, yeah, this horse had an injury and maybe he's worked through it, maybe he hasn't. But the problem is that the incidence of re-injury is very high. And so if we've got a horse with a history of suspensory desmitis or tendonitis and he's just planning on packing some very, very small riders in an arena someplace, that's going to be a lot more forgiving than the horse that's going on for a combined training type of a career or something like that, mm-hmm. a more strenuous type of a thing.
So part of it is trying to determine what the owner is going to want to do with the horse. And some things may be forgivable and some things just might not be depending on the intended career.
Yes. And that also gets pretty complicated because things change. And so we may start out with this wanting something really easy and light, and we may work into something that's a bit more strenuous. And then the intended purpose of these horses, I do a fair number of roping horses out here in the West, and it's pretty interesting. If you've got a guy that's just learning how to ride and he's wanting to rope, learn how to rope, that horse has got to be absolutely dead solid perfect, because this guy's going to be chunking 20, 30 steers a weekend off this guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you've got a guy that's going to the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas here in a couple of months, this guy, he needs this horse to work 6 seconds a week. That's it.
Yeah.
And so this guy can play hurt. This guy can do a lot of things in a very, very short time because he's that caliber of horse. But
right.
just your average, if we're limiting our discussion here at Off the Track Thoroughbreds, I think these horses have to be pretty squeaky clean, for most of the disciplines that we're going to involve him in.
Yeah.
And again, the soft tissue stuff there is a real challenge. And it's hard to know, even looking at it with an ultrasound, it's hard to know which one of these is going to heal well and which one is not.
Well, I you know that I'm dealing with a tendon injury, not on an off-the-track thoroughbred on my Mustang, and we're still nursing that thing 9 months later, so I'm very sensitive to that. Now, question about the thoroughbred, because, I will just call you in the middle of the night and ask you these questions anyway, because that's what I've done in the past. So my question is, one of the most common things that I'm seeing in on these makeover pages and all of these things is weight gain. What is the best? I know this is off we're not talking about pre-purchases, but what to you is the best kind of thing for an off-the-track thoroughbred to put on weight?
Well, you got to understand that you got a couple of different body types. And so we know that the big, meaty, beefy draft horses, okay, they're never going to look like an Arabian horse or a thoroughbred horse. And so in a lot of regards, if you're looking for a lot of rib coverage on a thoroughbred type and more of a lean endurance type of an exercising animal, you're probably not going to get the rib coverage that you're going to get on a chunky old style quarter horse because of the body type. So the thing to remember is that the horse is going to lose weight first and gain weight last along their top line. And so let's don't look at their ribs. Don't look at their belly. Let's look at their top line. The best way to do this is to stand behind them and look at the top of their croup. And so if it looks like an A like rafters in a roof, those horses are too skinny. And if it looks like big mounds of flesh, it sort of looks like big apples on either side of his butt, then that is not muscle. Okay. So that's kind of what we're looking at, is we're looking at the top line. And so basically we're not looking at a whole bunch of fancy stuff. We're looking at making sure that we've got our parasite load under control, and you got to do that with fecal exams. I don't just throw wormers at these horses. We got to be sure and look at their teeth, make sure you've got an equine veterinarian that likes to do teeth, and make sure that we've got those teeth under control. Typically, the thoroughbred horses on the track get a lot of dental attention, so that's probably not going to be an issue. But it's definitely the first thing we think about when we think about weight loss is going to be parasite load and dental issues. And then we get into the nutritional aspect of this. And so typically when you got a horse that's more than about, 3 or 4 years old, he is an adult mature horse. He's not going to need the type of nutrition that a juvenile is going to need. And so now we're just talking about calories. We're not talking about a bunch of protein or a bunch of fancy supplements or anything like that. We're just talking about calories. And so, for example, if you want to lose weight, do you back off the vitamins and minerals? No, I would argue would back off the calories. And so same thing goes for wanting to gain weight. And so we're just looking at calories. I love free feeders, the slow feeders, so that lets the horse kind of nibble on something all day long. Mm-hmm. And that works on preventing the equine gastroesophageal ulcer syndrome, because they're more like the natural condition where they're eating all the time. Sometimes hay is not going to be enough to be able to maintain enough calories. Some older horses can't assimilate enough calories in hay, so for those we have to add concentrates. I'm a real fan of those products that contain beet pulp. Those are safe carbohydrates. They're not readily fermentable like a lot of sugar that like would be in alfalfa and molasses, or some of the sweet peas that have a lot of molasses in there can be dangerous and not good for hindgut health. But the beet pulp type of products, equine semen products, those are already partially digested. They're very high in calories, and they're very, very safe. You can feed those free choice to older and debilitated horses or horses that are just coming off the track.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned, for lack of a better word, just a short word, ulcers. I want to have you back on to talk about that and some of the things that horses do go through when they're on the racetrack. So if we can plan that, I would love to have you back on to come on and talk about that and kind of how we can manage that in the future. So would you be happy to do that? Please.
Absolutely. I always enjoy talking to you, especially when it's not 2 a.m.
So, backstory, I had a mare and a foal in the bowl. I was having some troubles and I didn't just moved here. I didn't know anybody, so I called Dr. Stevens. Anyway, sorry about it. And it was Christmas Day, by the way. I've also called him. So
hey, listen, I have irate women call me all the time, and my wife is very understanding. There's a lot of wives that wouldn't handle that very well.
Bless her heart. She deserves $1 million for it. So thank you so much, Dr. Stevens. We will talk to you again coming up about ulcers.
So if you want to hear Retired Racehorse Radio, just head to the Horse Radio Network app. It's on there, or any of your podcast players has it. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. And you're at episode number 10, I think, now.
We're recording that one tonight. Yeah. I'm so excited. It's so really, it's really fun. I'm really proud of
that many so far.
I find it funny that my, I was talking to my brother-in-law last night, and he's like, okay, so what is this thing that you do? A brother podcast? Like, it's Retired Racehorse Radio. He's like, and what do you talk about? Like, you know, you talk about what kind of happens after the horses transition off the track. So that's a show? Like, non-horse people don't get it. But he also, this is the same person who said to me, what kind of horse is Stanley? Is he a racehorse? And I'm like, no, Stanley's an Oldenburg. He goes, you just made that up.
You might it does as well sound just like a made-up name, Oldenburg, doesn't it?
He's like, is that like you saying to me he's a hazelnut? Like, what is... So I need to ask a non-horse person
with
questions.
Your brother with my brother-in-law. And record it. Oh, that'd be perfect. Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah, I will. He's very funny.
You could do that all over Oklahoma, actually.
Speaking we haven't of, done that on in a Wednesday. Long time. Well, we'll have another things I've heard in Oklahoma on Wednesday, just so you know, because this one was a doozy.
And you're going to be joined by Sally on Wednesday because I'll be traveling
be
to
my
Denver.
Co-host.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Total Saddle Fit, Stability Stirrup Leathers, and then we're coming back with after that with equestrian first world problems. And apparently our auditors have a lot of them.
Yes, they do. It's very sad. I feel very sorry for them. But Total Saddle Fit, Stability Stirrup Leathers do exactly what they say. They're Stability Stirrup Leathers. It's amazing. Like I've said before, it's black magic. It's what it is. It's one of those things you didn't know you needed till you got them. And I've had, I've referred so many people to use these things. Now, one of my students in Arizona, I got them and when I got my pair for dressage, because I wanted to like sit the trot, like not like I had never ridden a horse, and I put these on and I'm sitting a pogo stick trot on Baby Groot, and it's really amazing. So I sent them to a friend and I referred her to the Total Saddle Fit, and she cross country school this weekend because she bought the jumper ones. She was like, oh my God, you're right. I didn't know I needed them, but it makes it so much easier to ride. It's a wide body stirrup, and that brings incredible stability to a rider's leg. They just feel stickier. They're wide, but they're very, very thin. So it almost feels like there's nothing under your leg, unlike, you know, nylon wrapped bulky leather things, which I'm used to. The portion that wraps around the stirrup bar are thin, and there's minimum bulk under your leg. And here's the deal. They guarantee them to improve your ride. They'll take them back if they don't, and they'll pay shipping both ways. That's how confident Total Saddle Fit Stability Stirrup Leathers is in their product. You can go to totalsaddlefit.com to get your pair now.
You know what's funny is Justin, who owns that company and designs all the products, he doesn't come out with new products all the time. But when he does, they're the kind of products you go, why hadn't somebody invented that before?
Yeah.
Every time he comes out with a new product, from the girths to, you know, to this, it just is incredible. And they go incredibly popular immediately.
Because, that girth is amazing too.
Because he just knows how to design products and he knows what riders need and he's a saddle expert. So that helps. But every one of them, it's like, why wasn't that invented before?
So. I mean, I'm seriously to the point where I just won't use another girth, and I'm going to have to invest in the leathers for jumping because they're so awesome. So yeah, he's just changing.
And there is no
the
coupon code, people. I keep getting asked that for Total Saddle Fit because he doesn't need to. His coupon code is he'll pay you shipping both ways if you don't like it. Where else are you going to get that?
That's
so
true.
Yeah. So just buy them. Enjoy them.
TotalSaddleFit.com.
It is time for some of these. First world problem.
All right. Let me say that if you have an equestrian problem, it's first world. If you're like, is this a first world problem? Yes, it is. It is. So these are submitted by our listeners, and they thank God they get it and they understand the life that they're living, and they decided to tell me about them. So if you want to submit first world problems, you have to be an auditor. I mean, you can email them to me, I guess, but I keep them in a post on Sundays on the auditor's Facebook page. I post, let me hear your problems. And that's how they get submitted. And so we're going to start with Alex. Oh, poor Alex. It was a beautiful day and the schooling show we were going to was canceled. So we had to go cross country schooling instead. Oh, decisions, the problems that you have. I'd kill to go cross country. I want a horse I can cross country school. Audra says,
Baby Groot's going to be there in no time.
I took him out on Feather Creek to their cross country course, and he was like running sideways, spooking at jumps. Like that was like the most terrifying things he's ever seen.
Maybe a little more training.
he's got a little ways to go. Audra says all of my saddle blankets are dirty, so I have to wash them. But I don't want to do laundry, but I can't afford to buy new ones. I feel your pain, Audra, first of all. Second of all, I'd always said that if I was super wealthy with a completely disposable income, I would never wear socks twice. Like, first of all, the feel of a new sock is so nice. And then, but matching them,
is a nightmare. So I would just throw them out.
You know what I'm started doing?
Bring me another one, Jeeves.
I had these collection of white socks from, you know, years and years and years. And I would always spend an hour matching up which ones went with which. And I've gone bougie now. Every year I throw all my white socks away and I buy a whole new batch. And they all match. I don't have to worry about it. They all match. There aren't worn out ones and not worn out ones. So that's what I do. I just get new ones every year. It costs me like $30, and it saves about 25 hours of time.
What's up? You're like high class living over here. I live in my modular home with wild animals underneath it, but by God, my socks match.
That's right. I don't spend hours matching socks.
Saving time.
There, that's your tip of the day, people. Throw them all away and buy all the same.
Perfect. I'll do that. I get so frustrated that I put socks together and one is like my size and one's Chad's size.
Oh, kid socks.
One goes up to my knee. Oh, kid socks is a nightmare. I don't want to talk about it. And then the kid socks, they bake like, oh, aren't these socks cute? And they make all the pairs different. And then you just try to match. I'm like, the owl is going to live with the tiger today.
And your son would rather have that anyway.
And he doesn't even notice. Leslie says, I've got to talk to Leslie. Because Leslie, we're going to have to talk. I'm going to talk to your daughter after I read this. My daughter bought herself a new 14-inch barrel saddle, and I told her it was like finally big enough that I could be able to fit in the saddle and ride her horse. And she cried and threw a fit with tears and all. And I'm like, but I want to ride too. So I'm going to throw a fit next. I bought her two horses and I take her everywhere and I have to hold her second horse. I darn sure want to ride it. Let me tell you something. I had to ask a follow-up question. I'm like, is she six? No, she's 10. She's 10 years old, and she has two horses. And she will not let her mama ride. And yet her mama takes her all these horse shows, stands around, horse show mom, probably grooming, helping braid, holding horses, getting snacks. There's just an endless amount of things, driving the truck and trailer. You know what? You need to appreciate your mama, because my mama didn't do that. I love my mama, but when I was like 16, she handed me the keys and was like, good, I don't have to go again. Okay.
Take your own damn horse.
Take your own damn. I had no help at horse shows. And when she did come to horse shows, mama, I hope you're not listening to this, because I'm going to call you out right now. She would sit in the car the whole day. I'm like, what are you doing in the car? Like no assistance whatsoever. Never mucked a stall. You know, I'm not lying, mama. So I would like to point out that your mom is helping you and doing all this stuff. You dang well better let her up on one of those horses. I will come over there and I will have a talk with you, young lady. Enough. Moving on. Brenna says, I discovered my horse likes all things peanut butter, but now he's making me share my trail snacks. Again, these are like real problems.
God, I've never had a horse that liked peanut butter. That's new. Do you know what?
I think they just curled a lip to that. I don't know.
Scooter's really gotten to like watermelon rinds. He thinks they're great.
Are they good for horses?
Yes, actually, Wendy recommends them, because apparently they have some nutrient that horses need. And she said, if horses will eat watermelon rinds, you should. Now, obviously not in excess, but, you know, I give him like 5 or 6 bites of watermelon rind, and he really likes it now. He never used to. And it's so funny watching them slobber when they're eating watermelon rinds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. It's great. Now, Angie, on the flip side of that, my husband keeps eating the licorice I buy for my horses.
I don't eat the mints that are in the barn, because they've been there for like a year. It's like, no.
No, but they may not be there a year, but somehow something crunchy is going to get up under that wrapper.
Exactly.
And you're like sucking on it, and all of a sudden you like bite down on sand. You're like, oh, don't eat barn mints. But licorice, yeah, that's a problem. Amanda says, I feel your pain, Amanda. You're just so busy with being successful. I give so many riding lessons that I'm either too tired to ride my own horses, or they've already been ridden and I feel bad riding them.
That's what Jennifer had, that problem, actually. She would do 10 lessons during the day. She didn't feel like riding her own horse.
Oh my God. By the time you're done with 10 lessons, you're like, get me out of this barn. I don't want to look at another horse.
Exactly. Or a kid.
Or kid. That's fact. Chantel says, some new boarders have taken over the pasture my barn owner always used to let me use. So now I can't keep my riding horse up front, and she's on the back 120 acres. God.
You have to like have your horse on 120 acres. How are you surviving?
God, we had a 100-acre farm. I cannot imagine walking to the back of that farm to get my horse. By the time you got back, your hour's up.
I'm telling you what, do the tornado drill that I did. I taught all my horses tornado drill. And what that is I started every time I feed them their grain, I do a one particular whistle. And now I can whistle. And I did it forever, like months. And now if they're all in the pasture, I do the whistle. They all come running up. They're like, food. It's Pavlov. It's really not that hard. Patricia says, there's so many nice people to hang out with at my boarding barn. I don't want to work at all anymore.
I can guarantee you the other half of the listeners were pissed at Patricia.
Yeah, because how many times have you been like, oh, God.
No, please. There's never. It's never that good. You got
it's
lucky.
It's never that good. You must be new. Right. You'll get tired of
it. They haven't picked you out yet.
Yeah. There's one woman who used to be the last boarding bar. I'm like, I cannot talk to you any longer. I have to do something. I cannot stand here and listen to you complain. Jane says, my trainer is 8 months pregnant and isn't riding. So has a local amazing dressage trainer riding my horse on his training days. Oh, girl. But the trainer never puts the stirrups on my saddleback on the right hole when she's done riding, and I always have to adjust them right after riding. They never feel right. I would be on fire. Like, put my damn stirrups back. Oh, my God. It's so annoying. I totally get it.
It takes so long.
It's just, but you're right. Like, and then you forget and you get on, you're like, and you're like trying to like get your horse to stand still while you're like reaching down, flapping about, banging him in the side of the stirrup, pulling it up.
And I have
trying
to notice that when riders have to adjust their stirrups, they spend the next 5 minutes fidgeting. Like,
just get off.
Well, they spend the next 5 minutes fidgeting. Like, I'm not sure this length is right. Or once they're never quite sure. Is the one longer than the other? Especially if they're adjusting their stirrups from the horse. And then you just fidget for 5 minutes. It's true.
My right stirrup always feels shorter. This is strange. But if I like reach around and like crack my back, they even up.
It's funny how that works.
That can't be healthy, right? Lindsay said, I just had a fabulous trip to Key West and Miami for my birthday.
I saw that. She was having a party and good time down there, too.
But sadly, she came home to her horse through a shoe, so she can't ride until the farrier can come back out.
That's right. That from what I saw, she's still probably not sober. So,
Marissa says, OMG, this weekend was so hard. We live on a lake in Virginia, and the weather was perfect all weekend, and I couldn't decide whether to ride my horse first and then take out our boat for the afternoon or take my boat out in the morning and then go ride my horse. Oh, my God. I agonized over this. What did you do, Marissa? How did you survive?
Two of the most expensive things in the world, horses and boats, and she's got a boat.
You know what? I would say that you probably have to ride first because if I drink a beer, I am not riding because I am just too tired.
Not Baby Groot.
Too sleepy. So day, yeah, no, not Baby Groot. So day drinking seems to go with boats. Yeah. By the way, I don't get on boats because if you're out in the ocean or the water and you have to pee, you're supposed to like get in the water and pee, and I'm not getting in the water. So I hold it until I'm in pain.
It depends on the size of the boat. Some do have bathrooms.
I don't know those people. I don't have those friends. People invite me on a boat and I'm like, don't do that to yourself. I will just ruin your day. I will. I don't want to get on the boat.
That's why we've given
up
trying to get her on the cruise. Because
I'm going to puke. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be just a mess. Kim says, after all the laundry I did, I now have to clean the washer and dryer. So I can do like regular laundry. Oh,
just
we know what laundry
empty
you did.
With Clorox. That's what I do. When she's done watching the saddle pads, I just run it through empty with Clorox hot water. Works great.
Yeah, but there's still a bunch of hair in there.
No, comes out after you do that. It's perfect.
It goes somewhere, Glenn.
It goes into the drain field. It goes down to the. It goes down where it's supposed to go. Just.
It just goes away.
It goes away. It's fine.
So much like socks you replace every
year,
you also replace washing.
You know, out of sight, out of mind. I don't care where it goes, just so it's not my washer.
Shelly, now she was a breast cancer survivor, so we've got to give her some credit because this is hilarious. Yes. Amen, Shelly. You're a hero. But I love the fact that she's taking it to a funny level. She's like, my new boobs are too big.
I am grateful to be here complaining, but it takes me twice as long to get dressed because my clothes don't fit right anymore because my boobs are too big.
Now, she would have ordered those, right? I mean, didn't she pick the size?
I don't know. You know what? I probably, if I had to order something, I'd go on the bigger side for once in my life.
And you'd be whining the whole time, too.
I would,
you
too.
Would, every I would. Day. I know you. You'd be whining. You'd be like, these were a good idea at the time.
They seemed like a good idea. Krista says, my parents came to visit from out of town and have been here for over a week. So I haven't been able to ride for over a week because I was trying to be a good person and spend time with them instead of using them for an in-house babysitter of my 3-year-old human.
Oh, let me tell you, that was something. The wrong plan.
You got it wrong, girl. Yeah,
that's why they come, so they can babysit.
Somebody shows up, I'm like, bye. Here's the baby. Now it's like, here's
the only
some
one she didn't
figures.
Do that with was Jennifer and I, because she didn't trust us taking care of Lucas.
Oh, God, no. No, I was like, Chad, I've got to go hang out with Dylan and Jen. Here's
yeah,
the
we're
baby.
Not trustworthy with kids.
You actually, I got to say, you act like you're not good with kids. You're great with kids. You
actually get
have like
you
a
know,
fun uncle thing.
You know, when I liked, even though the nieces and nephews, I really liked them from the baby, where I didn't have to change the diapers because I never did that. But from the baby to like the junior high ages, they're really a lot of fun. Junior high sucks. And then they get fun again about high school. That whole junior high age.
Yeah, being 13, 14, 15, that sucks.
You can have that.
Yeah. Well, it's like our listener here's 10-year-old daughter won't let her ride her dang horse. Be like, I'm getting on that dang horse junior high student. I'm paying for
like,
it.
I love hanging out with JoJo and, you know, Lucas. I love kids that age. They're a lot of fun just to hang out with.
But, you're a fun uncle. You're fun Bobby.
But I'm a fun uncle because I can do it for 2 hours and leave.
Bye. Hannah says, I have been so busy horse sitting for other people that I haven't had the time to actually ride my own mare.
See, that's again.
I get it. Shannon says that she's been putting off buying a new helmet, black or navy, and then I can't decide. Fine, I'll get both.
Well, we know she's not buying a $600 Charles Owen.
Haley says, I bought new breeches in a smaller size than usual, but I just started a DQ cleanse. And I was like, DQ, is that like a dressage thing? No, that's Dairy Queen. She says, I'm eating ice cream every day. I should have sized up.
I've never heard that before. That's pretty good.
I haven't either. I thought that was so funny.
I think I'm going to start that today.
The DQ cleanse. I was like, is that a dressage thing?
We do have a thing. Jennifer and I, when we go on vacation, we make a pledge to have ice cream every day.
You don't need to make a pledge. It's just right there.
And see, totally off my diet, too, but I just make sure I do it.
Two more. And Tony says, instead of having hay put up in the hayloft, my boss just had a tractor trailer delivered and left it across the parking lot. So now when I have to feed up to climb up into it, throw hay down and then drag it into the barn and like put in a wheelbarrow.
That is a pain. We had that for a little while and tractor trailers are not easy to get in and out of.
You know what? But you're not having to go buy hay every week because
that's
you
true.
Can only buy like 6 bales at a time.
That's true.
Because you don't know where to put it.
That's true. And it's so risky because you never get the same batch. And it's always different. And the horses are always going, I don't like it for the first bale.
It's alfalfa. They like it. But you know where my hay comes from, Glenn? Because I get the Bermuda hay and my horses are like, bleh, and I have thoroughbreds. So they need some alfalfa. But really, you don't buy hay in Oklahoma alfalfa because it has blister beetles in it. So guess where my freaking alfalfa is coming from?
Arizona.
Buckeye, Arizona. My neighborhood. That's my neighborhood in Arizona. I'm buying hay. And guess what? It costs $12 a bale there, and it's $22 here.
$22
just
there.
Tack on an extra $10.
Isn't it sad? You're like in farm country. Oklahoma. Yeah. I mean, Nebraska. All of that's right out there.
Yeah, but you just can't buy the alfalfa.
Do you know,
I have hay growing in my back, so I will have grass eventually, grass bales.
I was chatting with Joseph by email here, who does the Horse Husbands episode, who lives up in Oregon and Washington, where they grow a lot of that stuff. But he was just bringing in, he said he just brought in his 1,500th bale of hay off his property. That's a lot of hay. But he said that they're expecting there to be hay shortages, not because of weather in the future, but because so many farmers are converting their hay fields into hemp and pot.
Oh my God, no.
Yep. They're talking about it going to be a real issue because so many of them are doing it. The more and more states that legalize it, the more and more fields are being converted. I said, pretty soon we're just going to have to feed our horses hemp. But, you know, they'll be happy all the time. It'd be good.
I wonder if that's good. Okay, sorry, two more. Andrea, she's a new one. She said, I asked permission to not be in show attire for a little schooling show. And so I got permission, and then I won my class. And then the judge told me I need to dress better. What were you wearing, girl?
She wearing sports a bikini? What was chaps. She wearing?
Sports bra and fringe chaps.
Daisy Dukes.
Daisy Dukes with like the half chaps. And then I think this is my favorite thing ever. Sally said, first world problem. I just returned from the salon where I got my legs waxed and I tried to put on my breeches, but the residue from the waxing made my breeches hard to pull on and I just couldn't get them up. And so they were stuck in my knees. So I had to rub baby oil all under the wax patches to get that wax residue off. So then I got my breeches on now, but the baby oil came through the fabric and ruined my breeches.
I just want to see that video. It would have been hilarious.
She's like pulling it up. You can just see her falling over, you know, onto the ground.
Just have the whole picture in my mind.
Glenn's never had anything waxed. But
no,
sure.
No. And I don't know why any of you do.
I don't want to know if you have.
No, I have not. I'm going to tell you right off. No.
The residue is a problem. So here's what
I did. It just looks like it hurts like hell.
Can I just tell you something else that hurt like hell, but the pain is totally worth it, is laser hair removal. Let me do
Does
a commercial
hurt?
Right
I
now.
I often wondered if that hurts.
They're like, it's like getting flicked with a rubber band 5 billion times because it's only like a
so
dime size
So they do one
laser.
Hair at a time?
No, it's like a dime size at coverage. So like dime, but you can get some numbing cream and I got the numbing cream, let it soak for an hour.
How
it's
long
like
does
light
it stay removed?
I did it 15 years ago.
And it's still removed?
I don't shave my legs ever.
Oh, you just pissed off the other half of the audience today.
You're welcome. No, I'm just telling you, like right now, seriously. Well, I mean, like there's probably like 8 hairs that didn't die and they get really long, like to where I can
braid
them.
I wonder if that's gotten better in the last 8 years, you know, more advanced how they do it.
It's amazing. I'm telling you what, it's the greatest investment of
your
time.
Do they charge you by the hair?
They charge you by the session. It took more than you see. It always takes more.
Do you
than
end
you
up all, I don't know. Does it end up like splotched, like red splotches everywhere after you're done?
Oh yeah. It's like super painful, but all these people that get tattoos that are our listeners, you know what? It's nothing compared to a tattoo. Yeah. So there you go.
There you go. Well, what did we learn today?
Gosh, I've learned that our listeners have some really, really sad problems and should feel really sorry for them.
I learned that that we really need to get some more horses into Finland because apparently that's not enough.
Yeah, I learned that Jason cannot be trusted to go buy a mini donkey.
No, apparently not.
Field. He goes and gets a giant Percheron.
And I did make sure that Jennifer saw that, and she said no. Immediately, I didn't even have to ask. There was no question. So I learned today that I will not be getting another Percheron anytime soon.
Not yet, baby. No. Not yet. Someday.
I also learned that cats really like cat food, especially when they're in cages, and that they really don't like being locked up in an animal cage.
Poor
kitties
Chloe.
Don't like that. So that's what I learned this morning. Hopefully tomorrow morning we'll have a different kind of critter and we'll get them out from underneath our house.
I can't wait to hear about it.
See what we catch tomorrow morning. Probably the same damn cat. That'd be my guess.
Tell your neighbors to lock up your kids, lock up your children, lock up your animals.
I'm surprised. We don't have a lot of cats in this neighborhood because of the hawks and owls. We have so many hawks and owls. And there are not a lot of outdoor kitties. I'm surprised these two have made it. Well, the big gray one, nobody's going to pick that up and eat it because it's like 300 pounds. So it ain't going anywhere in no hawk's mouth. But anyway,
all right,
that's it for today. Tomorrow we'll have the Certified Horsemanship Association with Christy. Matter of fact, we're going to talk to her tomorrow, and then I'll be seeing her out in Denver, heading out to where she lives. And then it's fox hunting later in the week. Now, tomorrow will be the last live show, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday will be recorded shows. We'll put them out in the feed. You'll get them there. But
Sally and I are hosting together on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, and then we'll have a special new product show for you from WESA at the end of the week as well. So we'll be highlighting all kinds of new products, Western and English. So that should be a lot of fun. Jennifer and I will be at that show for a couple days. That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry about the live feed. Hopefully they have it fixed for tomorrow.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld.